Pastor Brooks, I will not be bringing you the word this morning. That's my typical MO. I get up, tell you, sit down, welcome to Grace Community Church. I'll be bringing you word. Welcome to Grace Community Church. If you have been coming to Grace Community Church for whether it's a week or a couple months or a number of years, you understand by now, hopefully. Oh, by the way, yes, could you scoot in? We have a lot of people that are standing in back looking for chairs. So if there's room in the middle, get to know those people. Sit on their lap in groups of three so we can actually make room for people. In all honesty and in all sincerity, we're so glad that you've chosen to worship with us here this morning. And if you've been coming to Grace for a while, you do understand, or maybe this is the first time that you've been here. We're a church that's about the Great Commission, about making disciples that then in turn make disciples and preaching and proclaiming the Word of God, so that that everyone across the globe might have an opportunity to respond to the saving work of Jesus Christ. And Paul says in 2 Timothy to his young disciple, Timothy, in verse 10 of 2 Timothy chapter 3, "You, however, followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim of life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, which persecution I endured. Yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ will be persecuted, while evil people and impostors will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived." Now catch this in verse 14. "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you have learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is God-breathed by God and profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God might be equipped for every good work." Discipleship has to have at its central component the Word of God. Jesus says, "Make disciples of every nation, teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded." And what Paul's telling Timothy is, if you're going to be a disciple, you have to know the Word of God. I want to draw attention to a couple things to you before we get going in the sermon here. And that is, first of all, there are Thrive classes. We have these every semester. They start in the fall and again in the spring. There are various equipping opportunities where the Word of God is going to be taught and exposited in terms of different topical venues. For example, parenting, marriaging, stewardship, how to finance, how to manage your finances, and men's ministry, and so forth. Most of these classes occur on a Sunday morning, either the first, second, or third service, and some of them occur outside of our regular Sunday meeting time. But I want to encourage you to pick up one of these Thrive booklets. They're just as you exit the sanctuary, you're going to see a display on your right. I mentioned when I welcomed you that I'm Brooks and I will not be bringing you the word this morning. We have the honor of having Bob Lenz, a guest speaker, who is going to bring us the word this morning. I met Bob a couple years ago. Bob is with a ministry called Life Promotions. He is an evangelist. He's spoken to over 500,000 kids, or rather each year speaks to over 500,000 kids, does public school assemblies. He's kind of like Chris Farley, only taller, motivational speaker. He's laughing because he probably identifies with that just a little bit. I met Bob a couple years ago on a hunting trip. Aaron Campman, another big guy, took me with him and introduced me to Bob. And we shot some pheasants and missed more than we actually shot. But we spent a lot of time together, and I heard about his ministry. And Bob is an evangelist at heart. And he has a heart for kids, and he wants to see them come to Christ. And Bob is in town because he will be speaking at the Solon Community School Districts tomorrow at a public school assembly. So if you could pray for that. Dignity Revolution is the ministry that he's going to be presenting to that school. But then Monday night at 7 p.m. at the Solon Community Center, Center for the Arts, at 7 p.m., he's going to be doing a youth rally, and it's open to the entire community. So if you would like to come, bring your kids, bring your neighbors. Really want to encourage you. The gospel will be proclaimed. It will be very clear. It will be very compelling. And I want to encourage you to do that. And as you leave here, leave here, I want to encourage you, as you exit the sanctuary, just to your left, you're going to see a display table and some of the books that he's written. But pick up one of these brochures. It's going to tell you about his ministry, what it's all about, and how you can be in prayer for his ministry and also support this ministry financially if the Lord leads you to do so. So we're going to watch a short video clip here that's going to introduce Bob, and then he's going to come up and bring us the word this morning.
Brooks said he wasn't going to bring the word, and then he gets up here and opens the word. And I honestly, what a teacher I get. I just so envious of his gift to open up. I mean, in an announcement, he shared more than is shared at a lot of churches around this country. So I didn't do this for sure. Give him a round of applause. Just to love him. Thanks for bringing the word. I thought we should clap for him because now I'm going to. Chris Farley? I live down by the river in the back of my van. There, all right. So thanks for 99% of that introduction. No, it's true. Would love you to come out tomorrow night. We're going to be at the school at 2 o'clock, and then tomorrow night there is going to be pizza served, and we also have an illusionist that has worked in Las Vegas. The number one family show 3 years in a row, AJ, the Animate Illusionist. So come tonight. You know somebody that wants to have a good time, good family night. It's okay for young kids as well to come out 7 o'clock tomorrow night. But that's what we do, and so good to be here. If you're like my family, you were intending to come to the 8 o'clock service and just got them here now. So that's pretty good. My wife and I raised five awesome kids. His introduction really was, the part without Chris Farley was really awesome. But it reminded me of a time I was in Colorado and I was introduced by a guy who's known me a lot longer than Brooks even. And he went through almost like my resume and said, today we have with us Bob Lentz. Bob speaks, to over 500,000 students a year, has spoken in all 50 states, 29 countries, has written 4 books that are available in the back, has started Life Fest in Wisconsin. And I knew Bob when he was speaking to junior high students. Would you please welcome Bob Lentz? And I came up and took the mic and I didn't know what to do because, I'm still speaking to junior high students. I know, I think he was trying to be nice. I think he was trying to give me a compliment like, Bob's gotten a little better. We can trust him with a real audience now. Adults. No, please don't hear me wrong. I don't mind speaking to adults much. But I still speak to junior high students. Why? Because of the word of God. Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20 says this. Go into all the earth and preach the gospel to all people, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded them, and lo, I'm with you even to the end of the age. That's called the Great Commission. Can I point something out? That's the Great Commission, not the Great Suggestion. It's not the Great Suggestion, it's the Great Commission. Every one of us, that's what God has left us to do. That's the purpose of the church, the Great Commission, to let God's word in his story be known throughout the world. And yet today, the statistic says this, 9 out of 10 Christ followers have never allowed God to use them to bring another person to Christ. Now, I know none of us can change a heart. It's only the word of God that can change a heart. But 9 out of 10 have never allowed God to use them. They think it's somebody else's job, like Billy Graham's job. Hey, Billy Graham's going to be 100 this year. It's not his job. Some people think it's the pastor's job or the evangelist's job or the paid, Christian worker's job. It's not. It's ours. Before I went full-time on the road, I was a youth pastor for 7 years. But I was already speaking on the road, so I would do our youth group on Tuesday so I could go speak at other ones on Wednesday night. And I was just part-time, but it was Friday night after the football game, and this high school student football player calls and said, Bob, Pastor Bob, you got to come over. I have a friend here, and I think he wants to come to Christ. You got to come over. And I'm like, that's awesome. But I'm going to bed. He said, Pastor Bob, didn't you hear me? My friend wants to come to Christ. I said, that's great, but I'm only part-time and I already put my 60 hours in this week. I'm going to bed. He said, Pastor Bob, it's your job. You have to come here. Now I was mad Because now not just the lead pastor and the church elders were giving me my job description, but a 16-year-old football player is telling me what I'm supposed to do. And the word of God is a weapon, right? Sometimes it can be used wrongly. Well, I pulled it out and I'm said, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20, it says that God has given to the church pastors, teachers, evangelists for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. If you don't know how to lead them to Christ, I didn't do my job. Good night. And I hung up at him. He was so mad. But guess what happened that Sunday morning? He came into the service with a brand new believer by his side. But guess who led him to Christ? He did. 16-year-old. That's the way it's supposed to be. That it's not the pastor's job. It's not the evangelist's job. It's all of our jobs. Matter of fact, we made a mistake back in the 70s. Anybody close to my age, did you ever do the gift analysis or gift test to see which spiritual gift you had? And they classified evangelism as a gift. That's not true. That's not true. Show me in the Bible where evangelism is a gift. According to the Bible, in Ephesians chapter 4, it says that the evangelism isn't a gift, but the evangelist is a gift. You know what that means? I'm your gift. You may not like your gift. You may want to bring it back to Walmart on the day after Christmas. But you know what? I'm a gift. And what that means is we're supposed to equip. That evangelists aren't just supposed to lead people to Christ. They're supposed to equip others to lead people to Christ. That it's not our responsibility. Well, I don't have the gift of mercy, so I don't have to be nice to people. I don't have the gift of hospitality. I don't have to have anybody over. I don't have the gift of giving, so I'm not giving today. No, all of us are supposed to share the good news. Young man, what's your name? What is it? Baxter? Baxter, cool name. How old are you? Are you a believer? Whew, good. Otherwise, this wouldn't work. Okay. Baxter, you're 14 years old. I know you can't judge another person's heart, but as far as you know, do you know anybody in your school or your circle of friends that the best you can tell doesn't have a relationship with Jesus? All right. If you, Baxter, would just live out your faith, that's called discipleship. Live out the word of God. And so like when you're in need, turn to prayer. And when you need instruction, turn to the word of God. And gather at people like this, that's called fellowship. And worship God and be a believer in action, not just on Sunday morning, to the point where these people that may not know, just say one. Season says, Baxter, what's different? What's different about you? And you can tell about that hope of glory, Jesus inside. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. And just lead one person to Christ, just one. And then for the next 6 months, you show him what a disciple is. See, it's not just about evangelism. Evangelism and discipleship are not enemies. They're supposed to go together, right? They're brother and sister. They love each other. Brothers, we'll use another analogy. Okay, but they go together, right? And so you show them how to turn to the word and get instruction, how to pray, bring them to youth group, sign up for a Thrive class, come to fellowship, right? And if you did it for 6 months, so they became a disciple, not just a believer, and then the next 6 months, you each would just take one more person, just one, not the whole world, just one. And you would disciple them for the next 6 months. Guess what? The whole world would become believers in less than 18 years. There's a number I want you to know today. What is it? 18. In less than 18 years, the whole world would hear the gospel. And yet today, so if we just did that with one, in less than eight, for 6 months at a time, multiplication, the Great Commission, the whole world would be one to Christ in 18 years. And yet here we are, 2,000 years since Christ has come. And on Sunday morning, even though we're looking for chairs here, guess what percent under the age of 18 are in church today? Less than 18% of our nation's youth are in church today. That's not okay with me. We're known now as a post-Christian nation. That's not okay. We're called to fulfill the Great Commission. It's not a suggestion. God has called us to do it. And if we look at the Word of God, I want to look at the Word of God and see why we need to do this. If we're going to fulfill the Great Commission, why we need to focus on youth. Look at Luke chapter, guess what chapter? Say it with me. Luke 18:16, and as Jesus' words said this, "But Jesus called the children to himself and said, 'Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to the elders.'" Does it say that? To the children, the kingdom of God belongs to the pastors, to the paid staff, to the biggest tither, to the most important, influential person. It's the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. This is from God's word. God is saying that this is where we need to focus our attention. Why? If we're going to fulfill the Great Commission, if you call yourself a believer here today, then the Great Commission that God has given us is to share the gospel, go into all the world and share the gospel. And yet 9 out of 10 of us have never led another person to Christ. Why? This is what God has called us to. If we're going to fulfill the Great Commission, we have to focus on youth to do it. Why? 3 reasons. Number one, 2 out of 3 people who come to Christ will do so before the age of, okay, this is packed. Thank you very much. I want you to know this. 2 out of 3 come to Christ before the age of 18. I was preaching at one church, and after the service, I said to the pastor, "So how many people were in service? How many people in your church?" And he said, "About 200. I said, "Really? It looked like a lot more than that." He said, "Oh, we don't count children." What? Do children matter to Jesus? Should they matter to us? Yes. I said, "You don't count children. That's what God's about." And I was at this other church. It was a mega church. You know what that is? Like, this is a mega shirt. All right. Thank you. It was a bigger church, and I'm not, there's different styles. I've been doing this 35 years, and I've been to almost every denomination and every non-denomination. And there's different styles of how we do, but what we do has to be the same, making disciples, evangelizing, making disciples. But at this one church, they would release the children for Sunday school. And so I said to one of the moms, I said, "So why do you release the children from the service?" You know what she said? "So the adults can enjoy the service." I said, "Oh, so it's babysitting." And she said, no, it's free babysitting. Now, please hear me. If we are just babysitting, I think we're so missing the mark today. Because if we really see that, I believe it's the parents' responsibility to, number one, for their faith of their children, faith for the next generation. But therefore, the church, as Brooks was saying, needs to come alongside to help equip, to train, to assist with that mission. I love the worship team here. I mean, you guys are blessed. You're preaching. I travel a lot. You guys are really blessed with what you got here. But I found out that they only did 3 songs because they wanted to give me a little more time speaking. And I'm like, ugh. Because I don't know what it is about worship, but you want to glorify his name and worship him, and yet you get blessed for doing it. It doesn't make sense, but you want to bless him and worship him. So I'm like, no, play another song. I've heard this already. But it was just so good. But there was a guy in our own fellowship, and he was a great musician, and he played in a couple bands, mostly cover bands that played in, you know, different community things and actually did some bars and stuff. And he said, "I really feel God's calling me to use my talent for the kingdom, for the church." And I'm like, "Well, that's awesome." He says, "Yeah, that's what I thought. But the elders won't even let me play on Sunday morning on the worship team. They said I have to start with children's church." And he said, "What an insult." He said that to the wrong guy. After I hit him, I'm just kidding. I helped them up. I said, "An insult? What a privilege. What an opportunity. What a responsibility." Because if we really see that 2 out of 3 people are coming before the age of 18, than Sunday school, vacation Bible school, than volunteers for the children's ministry. That's not the leftovers. That may be the most important area that we're saying we have to focus on this. Why? Because 2 out of 3 people come to Christ before that age, before the age of 18. Charles Spurgeon said it this way: any child by the age of 5, when properly instructed, can come to a real saving faith. Do you believe that? Well, you know what? You have a thriving children's ministry here, so thriving that they need more volunteers. I didn't share this first service, but we run a festival called Life Fest. We'd love you to come. We have 23,000 people. We have all a skillet and newsboys and casting crowns, and we have 100 bands on 5 stages. It's just a blast. We sell cheese curds. It's worth coming right there. But it's just a great time. But because of that, and because of the bigness of our platform, we get about 5 calls a day from different bands and from different speakers who want to come and perform. 5 a day that want to come and be a part of Life Fest because they care about the advancement of the gospel. And don't get me wrong, I know I'm one of the guys that gets to be up on the platform. But then I'm like, if that really is our purpose in our heart, then why can't we fill up the spots for school, vacation, Bible school, and Sunday school? It's because we really don't want to fulfill the Great Commission. So many times we're still in the self-promotion instead of fulfilling the Great Commission. If we're followers of the Lord Jesus, this is the last thing he gave us and said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's what we're called for. Please hear me, I've done this so long, but my passion is only growing. Because when I see that less than 18% of youth are in church, what do you want for your kids? What do we want to be successful in what area? As a dad of 5 and now a grandparent of 10, yes, 10 grandkids under the age of 6, let's pray. There's nothing more important than seeing them come to faith. And yet so many times, that's not what we focus on. So many times, that's not what we're doing. And if 9 out of 10 believers aren't sharing their faith to a point where somebody comes to Christ, it says a wise person knows how to win souls to Christ. So I'm asking you today, and I may step on some toes, but are you really about following Jesus? Then we have to be about the Great Commission. And if we're going to fulfill the Great Commission, we have to focus on the youth. Why? 3 reasons. Number 1, 2 out of 3 people come to Christ by the time they're. And number 2 is this. The enemy is targeting the youth. When I speak at public schools, I can't start with a prayer. I can't start with a scripture. Whether you agree or disagree, we honor the separation of church and state. But because we do it respectfully, 9 out of 10 schools allow us to actually give an invitation for the students to come back at night to share the gospel. We have, in the brochure we're asking to pick up, we have 5 promises, if you join with us, that we'll be in front of public schools addressing the issues of America's youth. We'll respectfully invite them back to the community outreach. We'll clearly present the gospel of Jesus Christ. We'll provide follow-up with working with the local church. And we'll call God's people to follow Jesus and reach out to others. That's what we'll do. But when I'm in a public school, I can't do that. We invite them back. We average it out. We get 25% of the public school to come back at night. And about half of them receive Christ. It's working. It's not they're rejecting Jesus. They haven't heard about him. And whose responsibility is that? That's ours. It's wide open. It's wide open. We need to do it. But I can't start with the Bible. So in public schools, I'll just go up to somebody and say, hey, in front of everybody, stand up and share your most embarrassing moment. And so we start with embarrassing moments. Like, I hope this is okay to share. Here's one. This guy and girl were on a date. They went to a movie. Christians, don't worry. It's a good movie. Rated G, Bambi Part 3. could you imagine if producers or creators of Jason or Freddy would have got a hold of a movie like Bambi? Be like this, Bambi Part 3, Bambi Kills Thumper. Pick up movies that go along with your values, right? They're sitting at this movie, but halfway, they're sitting towards the back, halfway through the movie. I know nowadays, either sex advanced, but it was the guy, and he puts his hand around her, or his arm around her shoulder, and gently starts to massage her neck. And don't worry, parents, I know it's Sunday morning, it's okay. And then he looks and said, I want to do something I want to do for a long time. And he gently turns her head towards him, and he tilts his, and he gently pulls his lips. I'm uncomfortable too. Towards his. And when they get this far apart, he burps. I'm sorry. The girl looked at him and said, how long did you want to do this? Real stories, it just breaks down the walls, because I come into the assembly program. That's why we bring an illusionist with us, because they come in and go, oh, great. Another assembly program, they're going to tell us not to do drugs and do, right? And they just come in like this, and we want to win their heart. So I collect these everywhere we go. It's so fun. I have loads of these embarrassing moments. Tell me years afterwards. But I was at a camp, and again, a football player, 16 years old, came up and said, Bob, I have an embarrassing moment. I'm like, tell. I'll put it in my next book. He said, Bob, mine's not funny. I said, well, what is it? He said, 2 weeks before I came to camp, I found out my parents were getting divorced. Bob, I know what happens to a lot of people. Bob, it still hurts. I'm a big football player, but I just cried and cried. But one of my friends who'd been through the same thing was there for me. And I felt I was doing pretty good until 2 days before camp. My dad came to me and said that the reason him and mom were getting divorced is he found a new girlfriend, a younger woman he wanted to start a new life with. He said, I talked to your mom. She says she can handle the girls, your two sisters, but she doesn't think she can handle you. And he looked at his own son and said, and I just really want to start a new life with my new girlfriend. So we called social services. And we're seeing if we can get foster care until you're 18. He said, Bob, you know how embarrassing it is to go to school and tell your friends that your parents are in court because neither of them want you? What do you tell them? But the enemy is targeting this area, and it's nothing new. Let's turn back to the Word of God. I loved it. I love it how this church reads the Scripture and reads the Psalms. When's the last time you did a Bible study of Leviticus? But can I turn you to Leviticus? Guess what chapter? You can't make this up. All right? Leviticus chapter 18, verse 21 says this. Do not give any of your children to be sacrificed to Molech, for you must not profane the name of the Lord your God. Leviticus chapter 18. The enemy is targeting. Molech was a god in the Old Testament, small g, who had the body of a human and a head of a bull. You go and put it in Google, it'll come up, and it's a picture of this god. Now, I want to make sure that we're always true to the Scripture in the context of the day and age it was written, but it also applies today. So I don't know how you do that sometimes, but I wonder if it'd be a stretch to say the head of the bull. I wonder if today, if that was written today, it was talking about Wall Street. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not an Occupy Wall Street guy, but I'm sure also not a bow down to the Wall Street or bow down to the almighty dollar. For it's supposed to be in God we trust, not in the mighty dollar. But this god, Molech, head of a bull, body of a human, was a god of fire. And he had his arms outstretched. And if you wanted your life to be good, if you wanted to prosper, if you wanted to be successful, if you wanted to be healthy, if you wanted to be influential, if you want life to go good, you had to gain this god's favor. The only thing different, Christianity, is that God won the favor for himself. Every other, it's on us, and it's works to gain their favor. And guess what you had to sacrifice to their God? Your children. Could you imagine the worship service and the God is here and it had fire inside and you had to come and take your child and let the child roll down into that fire? Can you imagine the cries? All parents, but especially moms. Could you imagine? And the smell of the flesh. Christianity is the only religion that doesn't call us to sacrifice your children. Somebody said, oh, Bob. See, they came up to me and said, Bob, that's not true. Remember Abraham? He brought his son Isaac and God told him to sacrifice his son. Yes, God's got to be number one. But did God allow him to take that life? No, God provided the lamb. That's what's different about Christianity. When he went, yes, this is hard for parents, grandparents. God more important than our kids, right? That's what following Jesus means. So, but he was willing to offer him, but God didn't do that. But because of this cry, they had to deafen the cry of these children. Because you can imagine the pain. So you know what they did to silence this cry in these worship service? They'd play the drums louder and louder and louder. You've seen it in movies where they play the drums louder and louder so they wouldn't hear the cries of their children that are burning. And all I could think about, what is that? What are we doing today to silence the cry? The enemy is targeting this age. Here's one time I hate this, number 18. Every single day in America alone, 1,800 teenagers attempt suicide. Every single day in America, we lose 18 students to suicide. Worldwide, the greatest gift, life is what? John 17:3, to know you, the one true God, and your only son, Jesus, who has sent. That's the ultimate gift, but the gift of life. Worldwide right now, every 40 seconds, another person throws their life away to suicide. Every 40 seconds worldwide. The enemy, there is a spirit of death that is attacking our youth today. There is a spirit of death that says you don't matter. Whether it's euthanasia that says you're not producing quantity or quality of life, whether it's the handicapped, whether it's the unborn, there is a spirit of death that's attacking. And it's nothing new, is it? There's nothing new. Go all the way back to God's people, Israelites. They're in slavery, captivity in Egypt. And God's blessing them, and they're prospering. Another whole message there, Brooks, to teach on how even in the worst times, in slavery, captivity, God was blessing them. That no matter what its sight looks like, you keep trusting God. But they were prospering so much that Pharaoh said, they're going to soon take over. So they put a target on who? The youth. Especially the males, the young males. Now, some women will say that's sexist. No, that's an indictment on men. And an applause for women. You know why? Here's why. 80% of people who fill our pews on a Sunday morning in America are women. 90% of Christian books that are bought, women. Over 90% of Christian music that's bought, women. That's an applause to women. It's a challenge to us men. It's a challenge, but you know why? The enemy knows this. If a child comes to Christ, about 40% chance that somebody else in the family will come to Christ. If a mom comes to Christ, about 60% chance that somebody else in the family will come to Christ. If the man bows his knee to Jesus, because it's so hard for us men to give up that number one spot in our life, that pride, about 80 to 90% of somebody else will come to Christ. Men, I'm asking you, sign up for that Thrive class on men. What it means to lead our children again. Of what matters. As a dad, I have failed so many times because other things have become more important. If your kids were asked, what's most important in your dad's life, in your mom's life? Is it fishing? Hunting? Football? The remote? A house, car, reputation? Is faith the most important thing or isn't it? Because the enemy is targeting. You look at when Jesus was born. Jesus is born in Bethlehem and the star rises. The wise men go to search him out to find the King of the Jews, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And they come to Herod and they said, do you know where the King of the Jews has been born? We have seen this star. And Herod, the king, said, no, but when you find him, tell me where he is because I want to go and worship him too. Did Herod want to worship him? No. How many kings can you have? One. And Jesus will always challenge the kingship of our life. See, he knew if Jesus was king, then he can't be king. And the enemy will always target. They were warned by a dream. They went a different way. So what did Herod do? Went and killed all the children under the age of 3. It matters. The enemy is targeting this group. You don't think it matters? 18 students every day in America. 70% of students raised in evangelical churches, when they're going away to college, are walking away from the faith. Have we equipped them? Have we trained them? The enemy is attacking this area. 25 million students today under 18 are in homes that are fatherless. 25 million. Men of God, women of God, it's time to stand in the gap because the enemy is targeting the kids. And it's time to stand up and say, not on my watch. So many parents are abandoning their kids today and grandparents are raising their kids. It's time for this generation to say, nothing matters more. That's why even in our new book that's called 18 Faith for the Next Generation, talks about just spending 18 minutes a day focusing with our kids on you. Like, so we do, it's called Faith 5. You talk about highs and lows. You share scripture. You talk about the scripture applies to the highs and lows. You do a prayer and then a blessing. Now, don't get me wrong. I had high school students. I don't know if you guys got made to sit up here, but thank you for being up here. My son Tim would do highs and lows, and this is what my son Tim would do. My low is doing highs and lows. My highs is now highs and lows are done. And you know what? So many of us Christian parents, because we want to protect them so bad, we put the thumb on them so hard, and you do it because I said so. But as soon as they leave us, then whoever puts the most pressure on them gets to win their heart until it's personalized. We need to raise, this is from Wes Roberts, we need to raise independent, dependent youth on the Lord Jesus Christ. But see, if we don't treat them to be independent, that they can choose this day who they will serve, we can't force our kids, but we can lead them. And because we do that every day, Jesus said, could you not even tarry with me for 1 hour? I'm asking you. Are you even focusing just 18 minutes a day? There's practices in this book. I didn't do this for service, but I'm asking every single family here to buy one of these books. I need a new boat. And honestly, my wife and I have decided we're not taking one book from any of the sales. We're putting it all towards going back into the public schools to win this next generation for Christ, because we don't need a new stupid boat, but we need this generation to know Jesus Christ. So I'm asking you, will you focus? Will you focus on you so we can fulfill this great commission? Not the whole world. Just start with one. Just start with one. So we can fulfill the great commission by focusing on youth. Why? Three reasons. Number one, 2 out of 3 people come to Christ before their age of 18. And number two, the enemy is, say that again, the enemy is that age. At this time, it's really easy for a pastor to talk about getting a bigger home or more influence or more money or younger spouse. But when I was writing this message, the Holy Spirit turned it back on me. And my daughter, Amber, when she was young, said, Daddy, why do you like speaking more than being with us? What was I going to say? Because sometimes they clap. Once in a while out of school, I'll get a standing ovation. If just once when I came home, your mom and you get up off that couch, stand up and applaud. I would come here more. Obviously, I didn't do that. I'm still married. But my daughter's heart, words hit my heart. I think sometimes believers are the worst because we get so busy about doing all the good things. Sacrifice the great for the good. What matters most is our kids knowing Jesus. Are we focusing there? So we came up with a new saying, as a family, we'll sacrifice, but we will not sacrifice our family. If we're going to win this generation, it's going to start not with the mega church. It's going to start with the home. It's going to start by taking back and say, what's my responsibility as a mom? What's my responsibility as a dad? What's my responsibility as a young person? Your friends that don't know Christ, God can reach them after 18. I know that. But the best chance is to live it out now. Oh, I'll wait till I'm older to be committed. No, the time is now. If today you hear his voice, harden not your heart. And the third reason to focus on youth to win the Great Commission, to fulfill the Great Commission, is this. Matthew chapter, one more time. I'm not smart enough to make this up. All right? Matthew 18 says this. Whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me. Verse 6. But if anyone causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it'd be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck and thrown into the depths of the sea. These are Jesus' words. You know how you know? They're in red. Sorry. Do you got a red letter edition? It's Jesus' words. But imagine this, so the author of life, the creator of life itself, who spoke life into existence, said it is good. For the author of life to say it would be better for you to have a millstone around your neck and thrown into the depths of the sea. Those are heavy words. Those are hard words. Those are all in words. I don't know what freedom you have to play cards or not. Did you ever play Texas Hold'em or at least watch on TV? Did they have a term? They say, I'm... Say it again. These are all in words. Jesus, the third reason to focus on youth, to fulfill the Great Commission, it's the heart of God. Youth matter to Jesus, so they should matter to us. They should matter to us. If 2 out of 3 people are coming to Christ before that age, don't you think the church should really focus on this age? How many business people here in some way are involved in a business? All right. Sir, if 2/3 of your business came from one group of people, will you ignore that group? Will you tolerate that group? Will you talk bad about the group when they're not listening? Or would you invest and cherish and develop that group? Because 2 out of 3 of your customers come from that group. Well, if 2 out of 3 people are coming to Christ before they're 18, and the purpose, the call, the mission of the church is evangelism and winning this world of Christ, what percent of the budget of a church should be focused on students 18 or under? If it's really how to fulfill the Great Commission, think about it. 2/3 of your budget? Can I tell you what it is? Nationwide, the average church spends less than 15% of their budget on students 18 or younger. Do we really want to fulfill the Great Commission? World missions, the whole purpose is to win the world of Christ. Less than 10% of world missions go to work with students 18 or under. Youth pastors are seen as a stepping stone to the real ministry. Kids ministry. Leftovers. We are naturally grown older, aren't we? unless we proactively choose to grow younger as a church. But I would say we're more concerned of being comfortable as adults and fulfilling our call. I'm stepping on my own toes here as well. But what do we really want? Do we want to fulfill the Great Commission? How do you answer that? Three areas. What are you spending your time, your talents, and your treasures on? People say these pastors talk too much about money. Look at what Jesus talked about. For wherever your heart is, there your treasure will be also. There can only be one king. I love world missions, and I work with a Compassion International. I did one tour with the Newsboys. We went to 60 cities. And we saw 5,000 people sign up to sponsor a child. You ever hear of Compassion? 5,000 sponsored a child at $38 a month. And I stand here as an advocate like never before for Compassion International. But as a ministry that is about evangelism for America's youth, number one goal for us to win them to Christ, after 30 years of doing ministry, we had less than 50 people supporting us monthly. So Brooks asked you to pick up that brochure on the way out. We're asking, just start $18 a month. Why? The money sure helps. But to know that people are praying about what matters most, that we have to win this next generation for Jesus. We have to. You say, I'm too old to work with Vacation Bible School. I'm too old to, you know what? My own daughter, when she was 16, said, Dad, you're not cool. You never were. So don't try to be. They don't want to be impressed. They just want to be loved. And if you feel like you're too old, you're finally ready to be a part. And if you're only 15, you're in a perfect place as well. For the strength of a young man is his zeal, and the strength of an older man is his gray hair. We need each other. This whole country is about dividing right now. It's time to stop dividing and come together on what matters most, and that's Jesus Christ and his kingdom. And he's calling you to be a part of it. I'll close with this story. I was in Pennsylvania speaking at a festival called Creation. And there was like, at the time, 45,000 people I got to speak in front of. But then I went and part of the equipping, not just leading people to Christ, but equipping. So I met with the youth pastors and volunteers. For most churches, don't even have a paid youth person on staff. And a Methodist pastor, youth pastor told me this story. They're having a junior high gathering. Now, my goal, my heroes are volunteers for youth. If you volunteer for junior high, you're a superhero. They were having a lock-in, all right, all night long, no sleep for junior high students. It's like students on Red Bull, okay? It was just awesome. But they had games, they had activities, they had worship, they had preaching, they had a time to share Christ. And 100 kids at this regional youth gathering came to Christ, gave their hearts to Jesus. But some of the kids wanted to get into the service, so they were leaning against the door. And they broke the lock on the door. And somebody brought a soda into the sanctuary, the auditorium, and spilt on the carpet. And they had to shampoo the whole rug. And the new lock cost over $35. So the elders of the church got together and told them they couldn't have the youth gathering there for the junior high the next year. They couldn't be in the church. Adults who are saying, well, we need to teach this generation respect. I agree. My message in the school tomorrow is value, courage, and respect. I promise you, if I'm in front of young students, I'll teach them respect. I'll teach them to respect authority and laws and parents and property. But with that said, to fulfill the Great Commission, I hope that this church has the dirtiest floors and the most broken doors of any church in Iowa. Why? Because they want to see if we put our money where our mouth is, our time, our treasures, our talents. Will you fulfill the Great Commission? How? Focus on youth. Why? Three reasons. Two out of three people come to Christ before the age of the enemy is, and it's the heart of God himself. Will you pray with me? In closing, God, I ask you, if this is not your spirit, if this is not your word, let it be gone. But if this is your word, then I pray your people would respond. If you're here today and you'd say to God, here I am, send me. Use my time, use my talents, use my treasures. What matters most is for the next generation to know Jesus. Use me any way you can. If you're willing to obey that command, would you just slip your hand up as a sign to God? Say, God, here I am, use me. God, I want to fulfill the Great Commission. I'll focus on youth. It matters to get this message to every person everywhere, starting with my own family. God, please, that's according to your will. So I pray that it would be done for your name's sake and for the sake of the faith of the next generation. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen.